Moses, before he dies, blesses his children. So he's acting here in a fatherly capacity. So happy Father's Day. Make it a happy Father's Day. But Moses here is acting the part of a father before his children, and this is what he says. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true. Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the sons of Israel before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the midst of 10,000 holy ones. At his right hand there was flashing lightning for them. Indeed, he loves the people. All your holy ones are in your hand, and they followed in your steps. Everyone receives of your words. Moses charged us with a law, a possession for the assembly of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people were gathered, the tribes of Israel together. May Reuben live and not die, nor his men be few." And this regarding Judah. So he said, "Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. With his hands he contended for them. And may you be a help against his adversaries." Of Levi, he said, "Let your Thummim and your Urim belong to your godly man, whom you proved at Massah, with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and his mother, 'I did not consider them.' And he did not acknowledge his brothers, nor did he regard his own sons, for they observed your word and kept your covenant. They shall teach your ordinances to Jacob and your law to Israel. They shall put incense before you and the whole burnt offerings on your altar. O Lord, bless his substance and accept the work of his hands. Shatter the loins of those who rise up against him, of those who hate him, so they will not rise again." Of Benjamin, he said, "May the beloved of the Lord dwell in security by him, who shields him all the day, and he dwells between his shoulders." Of Joseph, he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land, with the choice things of heaven, with the dew, and from the deep lying beneath, and with the choice yield of the sun, and with the choice produce of the months, and with the best things of the ancient mountains, and with the choice things of the everlasting hills, and with the choice things of the earth in its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let it come to the head of Joseph, and to the crown of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers. As the firstborn of his ox, majesty is his, and his horns are the horns of the wild ox. With them he will push the peoples all at once to the ends of the earth. And those are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and those are the thousands of Manasseh." Of Zebulun, he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in your going forth, and Issachar in your tents. They will call peoples to the mountain. There they will offer righteous sacrifices, for they will draw out the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand." Of Gad, he said, "Blessed is the one who enlarges Gad. He lies down as a lion and tears the arm, also the crown of the head. Then he provided the first part for himself, for there the ruler's portion was reserved. And he came with leaders of the people. He executed justice of the Lord and his ordinances with Israel." Of Dan, he said, "Dan is a lion's whelp that leaps forth from Bashan." Of Naphtali, he said, "Oh, Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, take possession of the sea and the south." Of Asher, he said, "More blessed than sons is Asher. May he be favored by his brothers, and may he dip his foot in oil. Your locks will be iron and bronze, and according to your days, so will your leisurely walk be. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to your help, and through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he drove out the enemy from before you and said, 'Destroy.' So Israel dwells in security, the fountain of Jacob secluded in a land of grain and new wine. Its heavens also drop down dew. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? Who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? So your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread upon their high places." Word of the Lord. The blessings. Moses is blessing Israel, but he's not blessing Israel, is he? He's blessing the tribes. And when I read that, I have a tribe picked out that I'd like to be. But then I'd also like to be that one because I know I should be that one. You know, there are some that are blessed according to their past acts of faithfulness, is mentioned Levi, you know, what he did, and boy, let him now do. And then there's Joseph, and boy, who wouldn't want to be Joseph? I mean, he goes on and on for Joseph. The best things, and the choice things, and the choice things, and the crown, and the firstborn of a majesty. And I mean, if I was Naphtali, well, if I was Dan, I'd be looking at Joseph going, well, I'd be back in Genesis, right? Wanting to throw Joseph in the pit. But all of these blessings are to each particular tribe, and all of the tribes could look at each other and say, but why can't I teach? Why can't I lead like Judah? Why can't I have all the best things? Why can't I be, I mean, Asher, dip my foot in oil, which is olive oil, not motor oil. They had olive oil back in those days. And where Asher settled, he had, you know, olive groves, so let him dip his foot in oil. It's a good thing. Okay, it's Asher, the happy one. Okay, but they all are blessed by God. Every one of them. And if you don't have the blessing of him, he doesn't have the blessing of him, and you're all blessed. So before we even get into the details, we see you have been given by God. You've been given good things by the Lord. And you're not to be jealous. This confederation is one nation, and they are under one God, and they have been given great things by this one God. And notice how it begins and ends with the glory of God. The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He came from the midst of 10,000 holy ones. So in the scriptures, when they refer back to what happened at Sinai, God is ultimately the glorious one. But all people can see is the glory of the court around him. They see the fire. They see the smoke. They see the mountain shaking. They see all the signs. They see the things that surround God. And book of Hebrews, and here it mentions this, what, probably heavenly court of angels, the hosts of heaven that are glorious, that blind our eyes just to look at them, and from them God stands forth. He is the one who came to them to rescue them, to adopt them, to command them. He is the one who spoke through Moses just last chapter when Moses was singing the song. Remember, the song of Moses is given to the Israelites to warn them. You don't have it in you. If you go astray, he will do this. And I know what's in you, and you'll go astray and you'll do this. And then he will do that. And then you will do the other. He predicted their future in the song so that they could recite it and they could say at every turn, this is exactly what he said, and they would remember it. Now at the end, he's coming back and he's saying to Moses, through Moses, bless them. Because why? They're going to sin. They're going to be awful. They're going to have to be disciplined. But, verse 3, he loves the people. He loves the people. And he's designed this people to have these various blessings and parts to play in their history. Charged us with a law. He was king in Jeshurun, the heads of the people. Tribes gathered together. And of Reuben, what does he say? There will always be Reuben. That's all that he gets. You know, you remember Reuben, the patriarch, had a very mixed life. He did not do what was right, and he was relegated. But though Reuben doesn't show up much from here on out, Moses says, there will be Reuben. Though you die a pauper and defeated and alone in this world, you have a Savior. You know, Paul says, if we have food and clothing, we'll be satisfied. You know, if there's anybody to be jealous of everybody here, it would be the firstborn of Israel, Reuben. He was firstborn, and he's left with, I'll just always have people. That's it. But yeah. And God is your God, and you always will be. Judah. Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. With his hands he contended for them, and may you be a help against his adversaries. Now, what does that mean? That's not very long. But Judah is the tribe that leads Israel. When they get up to go anywhere or to go out to battle or to move throughout the wilderness wanderings, the tribe of Judah gets up first and leads. And so whether they're going out to battle or whether they're going to the next spring encampment, Judah will lead. And here he is blessed because Moses is saying, when he goes out, the Lord will contend for Judah, and he will return them to his people in peace. The Lord will help Judah as Judah fights against his adversaries. Judah is going to go to war. He's going to lead everybody to war. And here, Moses is saying, the Lord will be with him when he wages that war and when he comes back. Levi. Spends a long time on Levi. Thummim and Urim. Who are they? Do you know who Urim and Thummim are? Yeah, I'm not really sure. They're like dice, or in my mind, I picture them as dreidels, but they're not dreidels. They're things that the priests used to use to discern the will of God by casting lots. Okay, so when he says your Thummim and your Urim belong to your godly man, so they were kept with the high priest, and he could. Determine the will of God with these tools. It was a means that God had of showing the will of God to his people. The priests had it. The other people didn't. And Levi is entrusted with this, with telling the will of God to his people. You proved at Massah, with whom you contended the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and his mother, I do not consider them. And he did not acknowledge his brothers, nor did he regard his own sons, for they observed your word and kept your covenant. What is he talking about on Father's Day? Should we be telling you, don't regard your father, don't regard your mother? Do you remember what he's talking about here? We talked about it at kids' night, I think. I don't know how much graphic detail we went into, but the golden calf. When the Israelites worship the golden calf, and Moses says, who is with the Lord? And it says, like, the Levites strapped on and showed up. And Moses said, each man go and kill father. And he just told them to go to war against your own families if they were among those who bowed to the golden calf. And here, years later, Moses is pronouncing this blessing on the tribe, because they did not acknowledge father or mother. You should acknowledge your father and your mother. But when they go astray, you have a father in heaven. And I prayed today, yes, often I pray for you that you'd stand on our shoulders. One of our greatest fears as parents is that we would be the ones to hold you back from following the Lord. And you must not let us do that. You must be respectful. You must be submissive, particularly when you live in our home.
but know that we want you to follow your Father in heaven. If I drop dead tomorrow, you have all you need in your Father in heaven. Goes for you. If I drop dead tomorrow, you have your Father in heaven. Okay. We have a Father that we are training you to follow. But our training will only get you so far, because we have our wounds and we have our pasts and we have our sins and we have our, you know, you live with us, right? I don't want you to be a father exactly like I'm a father. I want you to get better. Okay, we're all clawing our way along generation by generation. And I hope that you can see progress in your moms and dads. I hope you can. I hope your children can see progress in you. I hope you drive your, it's crazy, and there's progress in you. But you are to be progress. So when you read things like this, he did not acknowledge his brothers. He didn't regard his own sons. You know, there are times when we have to not regard you as we raise you. Isaiah, sometimes I have to say no to you, okay, for your good. We have a loyalty to a Father in heaven. We should say, this would be a good time, as good a time as any, to say, look what he says right here in the Old Testament when he's talking to Israel, when he's talking to Levi about their faithfulness and their faith and what pleases God. He said of his father and his mother, I did not consider them, and he did not acknowledge his brothers. This whole chapter, got to bring this out sometime, is the basic overarching premise that you can see from beginning to end, and there are extra things like material blessings, is essentially that when God's people are blessed is when they are at war. When God's people go out to battle, he blesses them. His blessing is, though you are going off to war, I will be with you. And as you are at war, I will be with you. It's explicitly what he says to Judah and to all the tribes. He's going to keep them. Now, they are his people, and they are Israel. And you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but things are going on in the Middle East again. And there will be tumult in the news cycle about what is going on. And there will be people who read this and say, God's people. Yeah. And then there will be people who say, not God's people. There will be people who are very bold against Israel and people who are very bold for Israel. And Israel's God's people. And he's promised great things to those who fight. And so what should we say about old Benjamin Netanyahu or Mossad or whatever? Oh, they're right. Those Iranians, they just better get ready. What we should say is what the Bible says. It's fun. So you guys who aren't on social media, bless you. But it is, if you can detach yourself for a little bit, it's fun to see God's word coming true. And what is God's word coming true? Every news cycle. Let God be true, though all men be liars. You don't know anything about what's going on. Internationally, politically, I don't care where you get your memes. There are things we just don't know. We can't know. Because I don't know where they're getting their news. Now AI can do, you know, the fake stuff like, Donald Trump really doesn't dance like that, you know? He does dance like that, but not like that. believability. I mean, we have to just get used to the fact that every bit of news from whatever source we have to take with a grain of salt, because men are liars. And God is not a liar. And so if he has said something about any conflict, we look at his word and we say, okay. All right, so what do we say about Israel? I know you know this lesson, but just track with me for a minute. The Bible says this, Romans 9. Romans chapter 9, he's trying to sort out, he's telling a gospel that concerns Israel and an Israelite Messiah, Jesus, comes from Israel. But the Jews are not believing Jesus. But Jesus is the way to blessing. Jesus is the way to eternal life. What do we do with this? I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. He says, so Paul is for Israel. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are from Israel. Nor are they all children, because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. Okay. Now, from that, I want you to take away a couple of things. First, Paul's love for the Jews is not just founded on the fact that he is one. He says, He lists them out. To them, to the Jews, it belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises. The fathers are theirs. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From them we get Jesus. There are reasons to say that Israel is blessed. Okay, we've read it from Moses. We read it from Paul also. They have a calling. But second, and this is important, faith is thicker than blood. God's word hasn't failed. Not all Israel is Israel. He says this because he says, look, the Jews are God's people. God's word hasn't failed, though. It's not a divine right developing on a people on the basis of common descent. You have to be one who inherits the promise, not necessarily the DNA. Okay, so, and he uses Ishmael, right? Because Ishmael and Isaac were descended from the same dad who has promised that in your descendants, right, in your seed. But Ishmael didn't get the promises that Isaac got. So, a couple of things. Number one, there is no such thing as an all-good nation of good guys that we always root for. Okay? There's no nation, geopolitical or ethnic or whatever, that, man, they're the good guys. Right? So we can't locate the people of God through 23andMe. There's no physical race, unconditional. You like that? There's no physical race that is unconditionally blessed on the condition of natural bloodlines. Paul shows us this by reminding us that not everybody who was descended from this one blessed man was blessed. Okay. Ishmael got stuff, but he didn't get the blessing. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. They're from the same dad, right? Same Isaac. Now,
Number two is a corollary. There's no all bad nation of bad guys that are always, we're always justified in hating. Okay? 23andMe doesn't tell you who's evil. Okay? At the day of Pentecost, there were, according to Acts 2, now listen to this. This is the list of ethnicities, peoples that were there at the day of Pentecost when Peter and the apostles stood up and preached. And remember, they were each speaking in different tongues, but people could hear them and understand the sermon. They tell us, Luke tells us, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, that's the Jews, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts around Libya and Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and... anybody know what the last one is? Arabs. The listeners said that though the speakers were all natives of Galilee, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. All nations showed up. Hell is probably full of people from all nations. We know that heaven is full of people from all nations. And so when we speak and when we root, when we choose up good guys and bad guys, we can't do it just knee-jerk reaction, right? Oh, Israel, they're right, they're God's people. And Iran, oh, they're a bad guy. Now, in the current conflict, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me, but what I'm trying to say is you watch your mouth and make sure that you wait and investigate and come to some kind of understanding, because it takes a while for people to really know things. Okay? Some will say, what about Titus 1, 12 and 13? Yeah. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Now, he's right, but why was he saying that? He was telling Titus, don't give up. This is why they need you. You have to discipline them because they are. In other words, he wasn't just typing this out on social media and saying, well, to hell with them. He was saying, Titus, we all know what they're like, but they need Jesus. Keep working. Paul was reminding Titus of the Cretan character to help him understand why he was having trouble and how he could keep going. Because they were committed to the Cretans. That's how useful stereotyping is when you're trying to help, when you're trying to love. Not to give you an excuse not to help and not to love and to consign people to the sword from the comfort of your wherever you have your phone, you know, the bathroom. We are such warriors. Faith is thicker than blood. Now notice, I did not say water is thicker than blood. You say, well, I've never heard that expression anyway. Well, I have. People who will say, it's the church, the church, the church, the church, the church. If you've been baptized, if you've been baptized, if you've been baptized, you're God's people. The church, the visible community of God's people,
These are the ones that you can... And some Christians have made the awful mistake of substituting one physical marker for another. As though Paul somewhere had said something along the lines of, neither is circumcision nor uncircumcision anything, but only baptism. The objective nature of the covenant. It's baptism, it's the Lord's Supper. If you got wet as a child, if you take the bread and the wine and believe the right things, that's it. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, for in Christ Jesus, neither is circumcision nor uncircumcision anything but faith working through love. Paul was at the T-ball game. And he could have set, he had the T right there. And the ball was right there of baptism and sacramentalism. And he could have said, it was there. It was just, it was the perfect moment for him to say, we don't do circumcision anymore, we do baptism. Pow! Out into right field. And then the people of God would always have known, it's the visible church. It's the sacraments. Or he could have said, we used to play croquet where you had two balls you could hit at one time. He could have put baptism and the Lord's Supper right there, and he could have gotten a grand slam and a double at the same time, just saying, it's not circumcision and Passover, it's the Lord's Supper and baptism. But he doesn't say that. He spends a lot of time saying it's not your DNA. He could have easily just said, rather, it's the sacraments. And he didn't do that. He said something much more difficult and impossible. It's faith. To let you know that wherever you are, it's salvation is offered to you through the blood of Jesus. You know you have it when you believe Jesus. And when you follow Jesus. And when you see the Holy Spirit at work in you, growing you, and your conviction of your sin, and the love of righteousness, this is the sign that you are God's people. It is so you can believe in the Lord Jesus. And he doesn't even say... doesn't say sacraments. So when we read this about Levi, didn't consider father or mother. He's blessing a people based on what they believed, which made them do. He's not blessing them on the basis of even what they did or who they are, who they've inherited, or the fact that they had all this stuff, the hats and the breast piece, with the Urim and Thummim and the incense and all the outward things. What did they believe? They believed the Lord. And they were willing to go to war against their own flesh and blood because they loved the Lord and were committed to following him. Well, all of the rest of them, even Benjamin, may the beloved of the Lord dwell in security by him who shields him all the day, and he dwells between his shoulders. Sounds awfully cushy, Ben. You get to hide out on the back of the Lord. But Benjamin, wherever he's blessed elsewhere in Scripture and talked about, Song of Deborah, Song of Blessing of Jacob, Benjamin's the warrior. He's fighting. And even here, his security is between his shoulder blades. It might even be a word that means weapons. Benjamin's in the quiver. He's ready to go into battle. These are battle blessings. Okay, we're almost there. Hang on. Can you make it? Go to the end.
There is no God like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to your help and through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he drove out the enemy from before you and said, destroy. So Israel dwells in security.
You're not at peace in the world. You shouldn't be. Enjoy the days of blessing.
But in those blessings, you know that you're carrying those blessings into battle. There will be another tribe to come at you. Not a tribe of people, but a whole gang and raft of temptations. There will be a new technology that you will be an early adopter of, some of you. Some of us will be foot draggers, and we'll stumble later. But there will be some way that you are in danger. And you are commanded to fight. And the Israelites were commanded to fight. Remember, the Israelites only failed when they saw the dangers and said, we can't do that. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? You know, that's where they fail. When they lack courage, when they see the enemy coming and they say, is God with us? I don't think. It doesn't look like possible. Right? In the midst of his blessing, he's talking about what the Lord would do in battle for them when they set foot in Canaan. Israel dwells in security in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens also drop down dew. Blessed are you, Israel. All of these things are things that are coming at them. They don't have yet because they haven't gone into battle yet. But he's saying, my promises and my blessings are your orders. So Jesus says, blessed are the, and we say, well, yeah, it's the people that he's given that spirit to. Those who mourn, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is the blessing, and it leads to blessing. God's promises are the blessing so that you go out and you fight. And as you fight, you see that God takes care of those who believe him and so go into his battles. What does the New Testament say about fighting? About Israel? About you? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we're ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. The reason we don't like that is because it is a terribly inefficient way to live, we think. If I have to wrestle with ideas and with individual transgressions, if I have to interact with my children on the basis, I mean, there are a lot of them. I mean, not for us, you know, they're getting fewer and farther between. But, you know, you guys. Yeah, I mean, they're just all these little bodies and all these little attitudes and all these little sins and all these. And you just want to say, sit down and shut up. And we want to do that with our opinions about tribes and nations and peoples and America and the church and denominations. And it's much harder work to actually say, no, they're getting this wrong. But that's where Paul says the battle is. The battle is against speculations and the lofty things that raise themselves up against the knowledge of God. And those are just going to be everywhere. But that's the work and that's the battle. Notice how God blesses the Israelites. Not all of them are going to have the same thing. Some of them get to live on seafood and some of them get olive oil. But they're all called into battle and they're all promised that as you fight, as you endure, I will be with you. When you honor me with what I give you, when you honor me with the win I give you, when you don't give up and you keep plowing away, it will look inefficient because, I mean, they're Anakim and you're just a little, but I will be with you. If you don't believe me,
And you go, well, go forward in the battle I call you to. What is there left for you? Go ahead and fight. He will be there for you. Engage the battle where it needs to be fought. And watch yourself that you are not caught up in the lies of the evil one that says, everything's clear, everything's obvious, these are the good guys, these are the bad guys. No. What is the will of the Lord? Fight for that. Fight for that. Let's pray.